Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk's special The Haunting of Hill House After Show. On a normal episode of Horror Movie Talk, we would review and discuss one horror film in detail. But for this series of 10 plus episodes, we will be having an opinionated and accidentally funny discussion on each episode of, The Haunting of Hill House. Your expert hosts each week are Dr. Bryce Hansen, who holds a PhD in spookology, and me, Professor David Day, the foremost expert in scare no-nos. So with no further ado, let's get to The Haunting of Hill House After Show.
What do you do?
With horror movie talk.
With the doo-doo.
What do you do? With the doo-doo.
So this episode is episode 6. This is titled The Two Storms because... Why is it titled The Two Storms?
There's two storms in it.
It's genius. It's brilliant. Actually, if you think about it, there's four storms in this episode, and I'm going to tell you why. But first, let's get into spoilers, because this whole episode is spoilers.
So okay, spoilers.
Spoilers.
I love it. In episode 6, The Two Storms, we get to witness the most impressive technical achievement of the series, in my opinion. The long shot cinematic cuts of this episode are huge.
There's a giant one take.
Yeah, at the start, that's 20 minutes,
yeah.
Seemingly. Apparently. It's obviously got some cuts in it, but as far as the audience can tell.
For the whole episode, it's a very consistent through stream.
Yes.
Like, it's tied together very nicely, and there's a couple cuts, but there is one scene in the funeral home that is literally just this long, long one-shot, one-take...
And it's interesting.
And it's super impressive. And it integrates not only the present day family, but the young family in like rotating the camera in like really cool ways. It's
really interesting because you mentioned rotating the camera. That is a thing that is present throughout this entire episode. Is the camera will do these wraparound shots of, mm-hmm. well, they're not shots. It's one big, long, continuous shot, like a breeze of wind,
mm-hmm.
or a tornado, a tornado, if you will, or like what they see in episode 7 is a microburst, right? They have this real intense storm, that affects them. I guess maybe that was actually in this one. Yeah, no, it was in this one, and then in episode 7, I think, is when he mentions the term micro burst. But anyway, so the camera moves around much the same way a hurricane or a tornado would, and so that's kind of interesting in and of itself. But the four storms I was referring to are, of course, you have the storm in the in the past that we get to go back and forth into, and then the storm in the present, but also the storm.
The emotional storm.
The emotional storms in the past and the present as well. Take that, Mike Flanagan. I did better than you. Did I? So these storms, or this episode goes to great lengths to shape the characters. And this episode does a great job of showing that this series is more than just stellar writing and character development. It's also a very impressive, impressively shot cinematic kind of effort.
Right. I mean, Mike Flanagan is a great director, and he makes that very apparent in this series. And it's kind of interesting because I didn't realize that Bly Manor, most of the episodes were not directed by Mike Flanagan.
Crazy. Really?
I think he only did like the first and the finale. Wow. And so
they don't feel quite like his. The story feels like his.
And I realize, like, in retrospect, they're not quite as consistent as these episodes, because it's just one, you know, creative vision and voice. And
yeah,
and it's fantastic.
It sure is. Yeah. So, so let's see here. The episode kind of starts out with Shirley and Theo fixing up Nell before the funeral and discussing, and Theo is kind of like, she's kind of like doing Shirley dirt by being like, she doesn't look like she's sleeping. She looks like she's dead.
Like, well, this is more of a, like a Theo observation, which is,
oops.
Oh no.
My bad.
Which is pretty great, which is true. It's like, oh, yeah. They always say that they look like they're sleeping. Nope. They look fucking weird.
Yeah.
They look dead. They look like a corpse.
Yeah.
No matter how much you paint them up, no matter how much you put them in their favorite suit, they look dead.
You see, you'd know this better than me, because I don't think I've ever looked at a...
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
At a dead person in a casket, anyway. I don't know that I've ever seen a dead person ever. I think I have.
Surely on the internet.
What?
Surely on the internet you've seen dead people.
Oh, yeah, sure. But that's not the same thing, I don't think.
One of your favorite album covers is a dead person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Mayhem cover. I can't remember. Dark something. Yeah. There's a band called Mayhem, a black metal band, in like 1993. One of the guitarists shot himself in the head with a shotgun, and the other members of the band decided to stage a photo with his brains all splattered all over the place with a shotgun next to him, and they used it for their album cover. It's pretty much the most metal album cover that's ever been released. Anyway, in your experience seeing dead people at funerals, is this true? They don't look like they're sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, there's some stuff that you can't really account for, which is, you know, sunken features, because there's not blood pumping through their body.
Yeah.
They can try to counteract it by shoving in a bunch of, you know, goo to make it look like they're still alive, but you can't quite meet the threshold of
black
living person.
Yeah, something about, you know, all that living thing, it's really hard to replicate.
Right.
It's hard to do right.
And actually, in this case, it's like, well, we see Nell. It's like, well, she looks like she's alive because she is.
Yeah. In fact, probably great efforts went into making her look dead.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, at this point in the episode, we get to meet everybody else. Everybody's flying in, you know, meeting up. They're kind of converging on Shirley's house, because Shirley obviously runs the funeral home that is going to be hosting the funeral. And so Luke shows up and Steven shows up. Their dad doesn't quite show up yet because, well, he's doing his nervous thing where he's changing his clothes a lot in the hotel room. But Luke and Steven are there, and there's like this, everybody's got this, every time Luke comes into the frame, I feel so bad for this guy, because every time he shows up, everyone's like, he's probably got a needle in his arm or something like that, you know, but this is the stigma that haunts addicts, you know, this is, it truly, yeah. do, it, It's just because they've burned everybody a million times by now, because that's what addicts do. It's what they do. And yeah, I just feel bad for the guy, because at this point, he's really making a lot of good faith efforts to try and be a good man, because the last thing Nell said to him was, you know, was basically, you know, bring back my brother Luke, mm-hmm. you know, which I think we learn in the next episode.
Right.
But anyway, and we also learn in the midst of things start to really heat up in this long panning shot. Mm-hmm. The whole family starts to kind of getting angrier and mm-hmm. sadder, and there's more emotions because there's mm-hmm. Nell and and in the midst of all this, we learn that Stephen is taking a break from his wife. His wife and him are taking a break from their marriage. Mm-hmm. And he's
I think we learned that in the first episode that they were taking a break, but
everybody else learns.
Yeah, everyone else learns.
Sure. And I love it. This is such a family. This is such a real family.
Yeah.
Because there's this weird, like, stigma attached to each character. She's this, he's that. Luke's the addict. And it's like Steve is just the dick. By no fault of his own, really. Like, he's successful, and he wrote a book that some of the people in the family believe takes advantage of the family story.
Well,
but
I mean,
this guy can't catch a fucking break. They're like, oh, Steve is so stupid. You're such an idiot. And it's like, well, he's kind of quietly paying for everyone's mortgage. So why don't you shut the fuck up? Like,
yeah, but I mean, he's also dick. Like,
he's kind of, yeah, he is a little bit, but a lot of it is just kind of being pragmatic. And
there's something very specific about having someone in the family that's like, slightly more pretentious, or feeling like they're someone that's condescending. Like, he's probably the most condescending family member, maybe Shirley.
Oh, Shirley for sure, I think.
But like, Shirley presumes
to speak for everyone all the time. She's like, don't take his money. You know, it's like,
well, Shirley is like, she's putting on the image of perfection and kind of like dictating a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But Steven is like kind of quietly like, you know, he's like undercutting Luke's achievements. He's like, yeah, he's going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks good now, but, you know, I've seen it before.
But they all do that. They all do that with the exception of the dad, which, by the way, bravo. Like, just a real example of a good dad.
Right.
Like,
because he's absent.
Yeah. Giving everybody the benefit of the doubt. I mean, constantly sticking up for whoever is being put down.
Yeah, in terms of like good guys, like the dad is definitely the goodest, like, has the best internal motivations out of anyone. But yeah, that's great when Shirley is kind of like poking at the hornet's nest. It's like, where's your wife? What does that mean?
He's like, would it be okay with everyone?
She's coming on a separate flight. Why?
Would it be okay if we put my marital issues aside for 10 minutes while we deal with the incredible grief of having lost our sister? Like,
and Shirley's like, no.
Yeah, that's a bitch move. I definitely, what do you call it? Empathize with Steven on this, just because it seems like they've already got whatever he's going to say out of his mouth before he even says it. Mm. And not 9 times out of 10, whatever he says is like pretty logical and reasonable.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, to be honest, the same thing with Shirley. They're like just two sides of the same coin, kind of. But yeah, the whole family has this going on in spades, you know, which is exactly what a family's like. It's like, oh, he's that way. He's this guy. He's the crazy one, you know. Oh, he's crazy. What's he going to do?
Right.
Yeah. So it keeps going with Steve being the punching bag. They're like, he's like, well, you know, so Luke and I were sitting on first class, and they're like, wait, where's Dad? And he's like, well, he's sitting in coach. And they're like, oh, you sprang for first class, but you couldn't get it for Dad. And he's like, he wouldn't have it. He refused. He insisted on buying his own ticket. They're like, oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah, I think Steve's definitely the punching bag, but it's not 100% unwarranted, I feel, from like past experiences.
Yeah, sure. But also, he's kind of paying everybody's mortgage. So how about you shut the fuck up? You know, like, I mean, I don't know. There's something to be said for for paying people a lot of money. So and then the oh man, dude. Okay, so just a quick aside. It's not aside. The dad, what's his name? Hugh sees Nell, and I'm just like that was a really emotional moment for me because. Immediately, I just go, oh my God, what if I saw my daughter in a casket? And I'm just like, I'm floored.
I can't even attempt to process it. Like, I don't want to go down that road.
I do every time. Every time I see that shit, I do it. I go, let's see what that looks like.
I can feel like, especially when, you know, it's showing scared little kids, you know, like Nell when she was scared in front of the Betnick lady. Like, that's super impactful, and it just guts me. But when it comes to, like, dying children or even, like, adult children dying, like, it's just not – I can't go down that road internally. I just gotta like,
block.
What's it called? Compartmentalize it.
Wow. You know? I can't – I don't do that. I don't think I compartmentalize anything. I compartmentalize my wife's voice.
High five. Up top.
So anyway, so then it moves from, you know, the present, and he's like, the dad's like, you know, is there a bathroom around here? They're like, down the hall and to the left. He heads down the hall and to the left, and then boom, it's the past. Now he's walking through Hill House, and bang, that chandelier falls down. Holy moly, man. That scared the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. I jumped real high for that because it was out of nowhere.
And that's when we know that the house is haunted by the Phantom of the Opera.
No, much worse. Water damage. Yeah, so the whole family gathers because of this incredible sound of the chandelier falling down. And the chandelier has fallen down because there's a big storm going on. By the way, there's also a big storm going on in the present, like we said earlier. Shirley comes downstairs. She's like, oh, my window's broke. By the way, get used to that. All the windows in the house are going to break here pretty shortly in this episode.
I know. They talk. It shows them really in the next episode, really dealing with this water damage issue. Like, yeah. Oh, man, this has got some soggy, you know, plaster. This is going to financially ruin us. But they didn't say anything really when every single pane of glass shatters in the house.
I know.
Isn't that a little more expensive?
I don't, in terms of work, no.
No, but in terms of expense,
maybe financial, I don't know. This is plaster, man. Plaster is a fucking bitch. I mean, plaster is not drywall. And this was in a time before drywall.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, when you're talking lath, you know, they got lath and then you got plaster to paint over the lath.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a super mega bitch.
Hmm.
I mean, ugh. Like, there was, oh man, yeah, plaster's a bitch. Anyway, Nell goes missing pretty early on in this whole thing. She's a little girl, and they're like, where'd Nell go? And they're looking and looking for her, and this whole episode of the past is basically looking for Nell. And, you know, it kind of got me thinking, do you believe, it's weird that this is a question I'm asking in episode 6, but do you believe that these kind of houses exist? You know, these
haunted houses?
Yeah, yeah. Like really haunted, you know?
Like really haunted?
Yeah.
I want to believe that they do, but no.
Boy, I want to believe they don't.
I mean, they don't. You know, I've been in, like, hotels that are like, oh, this is a haunted hotel, blah, 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 or this is, like, a haunted place, like, yeah. It. You know what it is? It's just an old house, you know?
Yeah.
And you tell people you tell them the story enough times, and then they'll conjure something up in their head and mistake the dream for reality kind of thing. I don't know. The older I get, the more I realize, like, yeah, that's not. There's not a lot of people seeing ghosts around because nowadays
it's gotten a lot quieter since cameras came out. Seems like a lot of shit has dried up.
You know? Yeah,
it's like no one really believes in Bigfoot anymore.
I've seen a couple videos of like UFOs sometimes on cell phone cameras, but even then, it's not a lot of them. You know, it's not like. It's not like when that building blew up in Lebanon. Was it Lebanon?
I don't know.
That big, like, port that blew up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure. I know what you're talking about.
I think it's Lebanon.
Lisbon.
And, like, the hour after that happened, there was, like, 50 angles of it.
Yeah.
Of just people... Not even just like, I mean, some of them were taking videos of the smoke. Some of them were just like shooting their plants or something and it happens.
Yeah.
It's like,
God damn,
video cameras are going on all the time.
Yeah.
So if there's some ghost that consistently haunts a place, and that's the other thing, you watch like these sighting shows or like paranormal or the Zach Bagans
guy? Ghost Hunters or whatever.
Ghost Hunters. Every one of them is like, we've got the technology. We've got the EKGs. And
nothing
the
solid yet.
MRIs. And
season
the,
9.
And then every
how's
time.
How's this running
like,
season 9?
Oh, we got the tip of a brick being hurled through for the frame. Just the tip, though.
Just found the shaft of my cock over here. Or it's just right over here. Yeah, I tell you what, the UFO stuff I believe in way more than I believe in the ghost stuff.
Right.
Way more. Because it's much more plausible.
I also believe it's like that could be easily human activity, you know, explained in a different way.
Maybe that too. But I mean, hey, you know, we're not saying aliens. I said UFO. So
right.
get your shit straight.
Sure.
Anyway, so back to episode 6. So Nell goes missing, and then we shift back into the present day, and everyone's kind of remembering Nell and the word that she made up, which was puffalope, which stood for padded puffy envelope. And that's totally something my daughter would do.
Yeah.
She'd come up with. She comes up
Puffalope.
With names for everything. And then, let's see here. So somebody asked, what was that call from? Oh, somebody asked their dad, what was that call from Mrs. I think it was Stephen, asked his dad, what was that call from Mrs. Dudley about? Well, she called dad and called the police, and then she went inside and saw Nell hanging, and that's how Nell was discovered.
That's the narrative, at least.
Right That's the narrative that the dad wants to everyone to believe. And you know, we go back over the fact that Nell had talked to her dad the night of her death, basically right before her death. And then we get the big earth-shattering fight. Which is
everything comes to a head.
I love this one.
Yeah.
Because Shirley gets put in her place real good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, I, you know, they're pointing fingers this way and that and trying to make Steve into the bad guy. And he's like, Steven even says something. He's like, you're making yourself look real foolish right now. You don't even know it. And she's like, how dare you? This is my house. And then Theo opens her mouth and she's like, I've been taking the money from Steven. You know, so what's up?
That's why she's so mad, is that Theo reveals that she's been taking Steven's money.
Oh, yes.
And then Shirley blows up, and the reveal is that her husband,
her husband
was taking the money.
We've been taking the money, too.
Yeah.
She's like...
And then she, like, backs into the corner like a wounded animal. She's like,
It's brutal, dude. It's brutal. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine this happening? Like,
you
being turned into a total hypocrite against your will?
I mean, it is pretty shitty of her husband to do. Like, oh, absolutely.
But his to his point, she is constantly giving people... like everything's explainable. That's what I love about this.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
everything's
giving every single customer that rolls through the door like a super discount, like doing it at price. Like she's basically just doing charity for people who die. And he's like, we got to keep the lights on. And he allowed us to do that. And so you get to do your charity work. Like, this is good. It is.
Right.
The only bad part is your pride. That's the only bad part of this whole thing, is how proud you are. I will maintain that this, I will stand behind this statement. I think pride is the single most disgusting human aspect that we have. Like,
yeah,
there's nothing good about it. Nothing good about pride.
Yeah. And yeah, pride is the probably worst human inclination.
And people seem so... amped up to be like, be proud. And it's like, you should be humble before everything else. And pride comes very, very end of the, like, that comes after everything else.
Right.
Because it's gross. Anyway.
Yeah. She's definitely, betrayed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just say, like, from her perspective, like, that's a real bad betrayal by your husband.
The ultimate.
Because even though it's like...
You knew. He knew the whole time.
He knew what she felt about it. Yeah. He was there.
Yeah.
It's when she was like, we're
really
not... No one's taking the money. And it's like... There's a couple instances in this show where people are making terrible decisions and just assuming that, like, yeah, the comeuppance will never come. Or, I'm not worried about the inevitable comeuppance for this decision. eventually it comes. So, Shirley is betrayed by Theo and her husband. And then, I guess I'm skipping ahead.
Yeah, then they discover buttons on Nell's eyes.
Right.
And I'm like, what the fuck? How does this happen?
Yeah.
I have no idea how this happened.
Yeah.
And I don't know the significance of it either. I don't get it.
I don't know if it's ever explained.
I don't know. I've only seen up to episode 7 so far, so I can't.
Yeah, I don't remember the buttons ever being explained. I'm up to 9, and I don't remember it being explained.
So then the lights go out. The whole family splits up, and Bent Neck Lady shows up, which, as we know by now, is Nell. And
it's interesting whenever the bent neck lady or Nell shows up in front of her dad, and he's pretty unperturbed.
Yeah, that dude has seen some shit and has spent a lot of time. Well, but then in the next episode, we learn kind of why he's so unperturbed, which is he's got his wife with him all the time.
Right.
And
which is kind of confusing because it's his wife. You know, as she was living, being a ghost, like a very, like, you know, 80s ghost, like 80s sitcom ghost.
Yeah.
And then also his wife is a creepy corpse zombie ghost.
Right. Yeah.
So does he see that too all the time, or?
No, he sees
like,
his memory.
Oh, and
I think she's his memory.
You know, at least once a month for a couple days, she turns into crawling zombie live.
Shut
you
up.
Know?
You're asking for it. So then, you know, and again, we switch back to the past, and the mom is looking for Nell, and she's going through all the doors, and man, okay, do you remember that part? She's going through all the different rooms, and she sees or she walks in that one room, and the fireplace has all this rain gushing down through,
through
the fireplace. And she's like, oh no. And she closes the flue. And as she's leaving the room, there's a woman sitting on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, give me chills. I was like, oh my God. This is my second walkthrough or watching of this series. So I'm really trying very hard to find all the background ghosts.
Yeah, there's a couple. The other one that's like super like scary when you notice it. I can't remember if it's in this episode or another one, but when they're in the kitchen and they're talking and there's like a ghost lady inside the cabinet.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Anyways,
so the casket falls. The kids in the past see a wolf. They're like, it's down there. This sends the dad on kind of a wild goose chase for his wife. He keeps seeing basically, I think, either her. It's very hard to tell whether it's her or her ghost, but she's alive, so it's got to be her. And she just keeps.
Oh, yeah. She kind keeps of like turning the corner.
And, yeah. Turning the corner and halls far away. And that's really disorienting. And then. You know, we get back into the present and we see the casket fall, which is it's a little much. It's like, really, we're gonna upset the dead here, and then oh, buddy, the real crippler. I remember the gut punch the first time I saw this was Shirley walks into the storage room and sees Theo, her sister, like apparently going for a kiss with her husband.
Yeah.
And she's like,
the two people that just barely betrayed her.
What the fuck? And, ooh, buddy, somebody is in some trouble. So, we end the episode with little Nell being found in the Hill House. And she keeps saying, I was jumping around the whole time and waving my arms and no one paid any attention to me, which is kind of how Nell's life was, right? It was kind of just being forgotten in amongst a bunch of more powerful personalities.
Well, it's also what she is now as the Bentnick lady ghost.
Right.
No one can see her most of the time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, It's a really great episode. I really, really like this episode a lot. So with that, let's move on to episode 7. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to Horror Movie Talk Podcast and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts, if you please. That would help us out a whole lot. Make sure to share us with a friend. And of course, if you would like to support the show, you can do so by heading over to our Patreon, or you can head over to our website. That's probably simpler. Go to horrormovietalk.com and click on either one of the links at the top banner. It says go to Patreon or go to Amazon. And if you click on go to Patreon, you can support us there directly, or anytime you have to do your shopping, you can click through that link on our website and Amazon, and a little bit of your purchase will go to us. Thank you so much to Dustin Goble. He is our professional artist who fucks so hard. He also takes commissions for artwork from HMT fans, so make sure you contact him at dgoble00 on Instagram. That's at dgoebel00 on Instagram. And another special thanks to maxwell.r.allen on Instagram. He wrote the intro music for these episodes of the Haunting of Hill House After Show. So without any further ado, head on over to our after show for episode 7. We love you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.